It's time for Over There with Mirella Rostroffer. Mirella is our European correspondent. She joins us weekly. She is over there, possibly in Switzerland. I don't know where she is, actually. But I do know that she's cold. Hi, Mirella. How are you?
Hi, Jill. Yes, from an extremely cold Switzerland and an extremely cold Europe altogether, with minus temperatures almost everywhere and snow in cities that are not used to snow, like Rome, for example. Yes, Europe is having a real cold weather at the moment. So we are going to stay with the weather. I mean, not really the weather, but the change in climate, by introducing our new topic today, which is kind of amazing. In Germany, this week, the judges have decided that it is allowed to ban diesel cars from the center of cities. This is a huge move, especially in a country like Germany that has an extremely strong car industry, as you know, Jill, as everybody knows. It's a step that was expected in a way, but maybe not so soon. So what does that mean exactly? Diesel cars are going to be forbidden in the cities that want to introduce that first, which are Stuttgart and Düsseldorf. They are going to forbid older diesel cars and trucks. That means that all the new ones that have new systems are theoretically not included in this ban. We can assume that this is now going to be followed by many other cities, especially considering that last year more than 50 cities in Germany exceeded the European Union level limits of nitrogen oxide, which is the problem with diesel cars. What is an interesting topic, though, and I think it's interesting to mention, is the fact that diesel cars are not bad for everything. As a matter of fact, they were introduced many years ago because they don't produce as much CO2 than regular cars. So that was actually at the time introduced like a less polluting car, which is now, of course, a kind of embarrassing situation, that in a way what was introduced like a less dangerous car is now basically the enemy number one. So we have these diesel cars that produce less CO2, but on the other hand produce much more nitrogen oxide that is dangerous for humans, for us. The CO2 is maybe less directly dangerous to our lungs, but on the other hand has an impact on the climate change. So they are two aspects to the story, but the fact remains that with this ban, the market share for diesel cars and trucks will fall dramatically this year. It was already quite bad last year in 2017, but now there are good reasons to think that the market is going to fall further. That in spite of the possibility of improvement that some car producers are giving. But on the other hand, you also have some very important car producers that have already stated that they are going to move away from diesel technology. So by saying that, it makes the market even more nervous, if one can say it like this. Until 2025, which is actually around the corner, big cities have already decided to completely ban diesel cars from the centers of the cities. As an example, Mexico, Paris. And as always, the northern countries being ahead of all of us, Copenhagen is actually seeking to ban them already next year. So that is really very close and will definitely have an impact on the car industry. That being said, in a way, regular cars don't have those the same problem with the nitrogen oxides, but deliver much more CO2 in the air. So the solution, obviously, would be to shift to electrical cars. But then again, there are many other issues with that, beginning with how to recycle, for example, batteries, and how to make sure that there are enough electricity spots to charge the cars, etc. So there are big changes in the making that one can really feel, but probably one has to implement all of this, and it can't be faster than organizing everything so that it actually at the end of the day work for a majority. So that was the big news in Germany this week, together with the fact that the party from Angela Merkel has voted to have a joint government with the SPD, but this is going to be only final on the 4th of March, when the SPD is also going to have the result of their own members. So that is still a little bit of a question mark, but I think everybody is hoping for a solution so that Germany can go back to business. That the 4th of March is also actually a very important date for the Italians, as they are going to elect their new prime minister and the parliament. This is going to be really a big deal in Italy, because probably there won't be a majority. Most of the time there isn't. So there will be alliances, and one has to see who is going to be allied with who. On the center left, we have Matteo Renzi, who was the former prime minister who had to resign, but I think he would like to go back into the race. We have a party called Più Europa, which means plus Europe, more Europe, sorry, led by Emma Bonino, who is a real veteran in the Italian politics, and is really fighting for having more Europe and not less. Then we have the five-star party, which is a very populist party, anti-establishment, with Luigi Di Maio, who is really very popular, but might have problems with gaining a majority, as they don't want to be allied with anybody. Then we have, as always, Forza Italia, led by Silvio Berlusconi, who is back into business, who theoretically cannot become prime minister because for 6 years because of some issue with the justice, but is appealing the ruling. So who knows? He definitely is like a cat and has a few lives. For himself, he has been proving that many times. And then we have some very right parties like the Fratelli d'Italia, which means Brothers of Italy, or the Lega Nord, which means the Northern League. And all of those parties would be ready to make alliances, even with Forza Italia, with Silvio Berlusconi, who is a little bit less on the right spectrum. If that's the case, if they all are ready to get together, then they actually might gain a majority. It's very difficult to say, Jill, because as you know, the polls these days are not very reliable, but from what I gathered around, the right parties have definitely a chance. And that is a problem in the sense of clashes, because in Italy, what is really very impressive lately is the fact that violence is back on the scene between right extremists and left activists, to the point, for example, that in Palermo, Massimo Ursino, who is part of a small party called Forza Nuova and who is on the very right spectrum of the political scene, has been bound with tape and beaten by left-wing extremists. So this was taped and then sent to the media with messages saying that Massimo Ursino is spreading hate and racism in Italy, and that's why they took this action. But obviously, one has the feeling that to answer violence with violence is not necessarily going to bring anything positive at the moment. Last time where things were so heated was in the 70s, for the one of us who are old enough to remember. Then it calmed down a lot to really be an issue right now. So that was, for example, an action from the left wing extremist. But on the other wing, the right extremist, for example, lately six migrants were shot from an activist in the town of Matera. And so it seems that violence is being equally deployed on both sides, and in between one has the regular citizens that have to decide on the 4th of March what to do and who to elect. The most difficult is probably going to be for the very young electors to decide, because according many journalists, these are the people that feel anyway left behind, and chances are that they are not going to even vote. So let's see what happens on the 4th of March.
Thank you very much, Mirella Rostroffer, over there.
My pleasure.
Yes.